lock up the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Talk some Duck Hoop. He is the voice of Oregon men's basketball behind the mic last night for the big win in Tucson. They get back at it tomorrow night, 6:30 tip, 6 o'clock pregame right here. It's part of the Oregon IMG Network. You can follow him on Twitter. The handle is at Joey McMurray. Joey Mack checking in. How are things in the desert, Joey?
Things are good. Anytime you win, the team's usually in a pretty good spot. Yeah, they didn't exactly win it with a pretty performance, but, you know, if you win it on the road any way you can, that's what Dana Altman's message was to the team. Everyone's usually in a better mood than if you lose.
You know, I said last night, I've been here 29 years. I've covered this conference, and two things you never take for granted: beating USC in football and winning at the McHale Center, especially, Joey, a week after that home collapse, knocking off Arizona there. How big a performance was that last night moving forward and providing some optimism the rest of the way?
Yeah, no doubt. I think that that was huge. And the thing that's kind of ironic with the whole deal is I feel like Oregon sort of is kicking itself because the Ducks feel like they could be 4-0 in Pac-12 play right now. They kind of let one get away against Oregon State. Kenny Wooten wasn't healthy. Definitely let one get away against UCLA, leading by 9 with 55 seconds to go. And again, Kenny Wooten wasn't healthy. You know, it's that whole 2020 hindsight, you're kicking yourself kind of a thing. And, you know, give the Ducks credit. They didn't give in against USC. They won pretty soundly, and then they go on the road and win at the McHale Center, which Dane Altman has now done a few times in the last few years. The last five meetings at McHale, the Ducks are 2-3, and the rest of the conference has three wins in that span or something like that.
Yep.
It's amazing what Oregon's been able to do. They've kind of had Arizona's number, and Dane Altman's now, I believe, all-time 8-8 against Sean Miller coached Arizona teams. So with all that in mind, I think it's just pretty amazing that Oregon was able to bounce back the way that they did, and credit Dane Altman for that. You know, I thought that the way that that game went down the stretch, you know, the Ducks didn't give in, they didn't let up, and that's all credit to Dane Altman.
Yeah, you know, along those lines, afterwards, he called it a rock fight. And, you know, you think of these two programs, such great athletes, such great offensive players. Oregon, like you said, they uglied it up, got physical, won with defense. I'd like to say that says something about, I guess, their ability to adapt and just find the necessary path.
And that is the way that they're going to have to do it. And I think the way the entire Pac-12 is this year, there's going to be a lot of those sorts of moments where I think all of us are going to look around the conference and go, "Whoa, what happened there?" And then it's because somebody made an adjustment, and there's just not that one great team, I don't think, this year. So I think you're right. This is a team that has had to adapt, and certainly they had to adapt to life without Bowl. Then they had to adapt to life without Wooten, and then I think it was nice to be able to bring Kenny Wooten back in this game for sure. And talking with Coach on the postgame show, you know, he just said, boy, Kenny makes a difference. You know, it's not just his offensive ability. It's not even really that he had a great offensive night against Arizona. He just changes so many shots and he impacts the game defensively and rebounding just in ways that nobody else on this roster can with his athleticism and skill set. And I thought that was big for the Ducks to adjust to having him back coming off the bench. They adjusted very quickly, and I think that tells you just how valuable Kenny Wooten is, particularly on the defensive end.
Yeah, you know, what I thought was interesting is you kind of got a little bit of a tease going. You know, he got fitted for the mask, and then pregame last night, he's talking about what sneakers he might be wearing. And the fact that he was out there for 25 minutes, were you at all surprised that, you know, not only did he play, but, you know, he was kind of able to go full tilt?
You know, he has been doing conditioning. That was one thing with breaking his jaw in the Baylor game before Christmas. He was still able to go through and do some conditioning, particularly in the last week as he was getting comfortable in that mask and making sure that he could go through full contact. He was able to do some, what you know, quote-unquote dry stuff and do that conditioning. And so I think that's a testament to him. You know, he's a guy that didn't want to sit out. I mean, he made the effort to get back as soon as possible. And I talked to him a little bit of practice today and asked how the mask is, and he said, it's a little weird, but took some getting used to, and he was good with it, you know, and I think that's just the kind of guy Kenny Wooten is. Certainly an easy guy to root for, definitely a fan favorite for obvious reasons with the athleticism and the dunks. Everybody loves a good dunk. It's like they say in baseball, the old saying, you know, chicks dig the long ball, everybody digs the dunk in basketball, and that's kind of what Kenny Wooten brings to the table. So it was good to have him back, and certainly you know, a big reason why Oregon was able to win that game, and that's a big win for the Ducks.
You know, I don't know if anybody brought this up after the game. I mean, Wooten had a very interesting sequence about 8 minutes to go. He blocked a shot. Rather than find the ball, he was kind of planning his own testimonial dinner, and then behind him, Arizona regained possession and dunked on him. Did anybody bring that up?
I don't know if anybody did, except me, but I thought about it. You know, I did notice that, and in going back and watching the game, I did pick up on that, and I think that was Kenny Wooten being fired up, but I'm sure that's something that will be pointed out on the film moving forward, I have no doubt.
Yeah, it was like, celebrate, cool, dude's about to dunk on you, Kenny. But continuing with Joey Mack live from Tempe, Peyton Pritchard, been struggling with his shot, 2 of 9 last night. I mean, aside from USC, I mean, he's shooting like 25%. And, of course, I know he became the 37th Duck ever to reach 1,000 points. He's still just a junior. So maybe worth taking a moment to acknowledge how important he's been and the fact that he was a really elite player and he stayed in the state of Oregon.
Yeah, I think it's a cool deal for Peyton Pritchard, you know, and obviously anytime you have a local guy at any university, I think it's easy for fans to root for him, and he's definitely been through the wars, you know, a great freshman year with a lot of parts surrounding him. Last year, Dane Altman had said frequently that they put too much pressure on him to be a scorer and to try and do too much, and this year it seems like he's finding that role a little bit more with some guys that can complement him, like Bull early in the season, and now King, I think, has become a scorer, and really, Paul White has stepped up in a big way in Pac-12 games. He's been one of Oregon's top scorers and really one of their most efficient players in this last 4 games. He's also taken 5 charges, which is something that Dane Altman gets fired up about. And so with all of those pieces around him, I think it's just helped Peyton Pritchard. And, you know, the list that he's on now, and he's approaching 400 career assists, he'd be just the 6th player Whoa. In program history to do that. To have 1,000 points and 400 career assists. It's the all-time assist leader, Kenya Wilkins, who has done it, Ron Lee, Luke Jackson, Luke Ridenour, Aaron Brooks, and that's a pretty elite company that you're talking about with Peyton Pritchard. So it's pretty amazing what he's been able to do. And, you know, it's funny, I was talking to Bill Walton, actually, pregame, and he actually asked, well, so who are the other guys that are on that list? And off the top of my head, I could think of Luke Ridenour, Luke Jackson. I thought, well, probably Ron Lee, and then Aaron Brooks, Kenya Wilkins. I mean, just think about those names, and then when Peyton Pritchard gets another few assists here and gets to 400, that's some elite company, and that's some guys that have been in the record books at Oregon for a long time. So it's just kind of cool to recognize what he's doing, but all that being said, I can tell you that Peyton Pritchard, the first thing he's thinking is, but we just need to win more games. He's not really worried about all the other stuff right now.
Yeah, he'll tell his kids about that one day. You know, last night it seemed like didn't matter what jersey you had on, shooting outside was a struggle. Yet Paul White, who plays inside, outside, made a big 3, had that follow bucket off of Bailey's miss with about 4 minutes left. Be it what you observed or what the coaches said, how huge was the senior last night?
He was big. And, you know, Coach Altman's been pretty complimentary the last few weeks. He said on tip-off Tuesday earlier with me that, you know, hey, he's always happy for the seniors when they get going. And it seems like Paul White's been able to kind of get going. And he has said publicly that he'll fill any role that the team needs him to fill. He just wants to win. And I think early in the season, Paul looked around and said, okay, there's a lot of great scorers on this team. You know, I don't need to be the guy that goes and scores. But now he kind of needs to be. He sort of is that guy that can be a stretch four and can hit the outside shot, and he's done it more consistently. And for me, the biggest thing with Paul, I feel like Paul White has, at times in his career, struggled with getting into a rhythm because he's gotten into foul trouble. And I feel like that hasn't happened in the last few weeks, and I feel like that is leading to him being more efficient offensively because he's able to get into a rhythm. And part of that is he seems to have gotten better at taking charges. I mean, you think about those 5 charges I mentioned that he's taken. Those could have been 5 blocking fouls earlier in the season, but he sort of perfected the craft, maybe. And, you know, I think there's a lot of factors that go into it, but being a team guy certainly is one of them. And the Ducks are going to need Paul White to do some big things. He has a matchup problem for teams. At 6'9", both he and Lewis King are 6'9" that could go inside and outside a little bit. The Ducks have their length, and certainly they've been using it in that press, too. It's not just the offense, it's the defense, and the length has created some problems for teams, and Oregon has really utilized that pressure defense.
You know, one last thing. I know they practice today, so your team gets in Arizona State mode, and the Sun Devils got off to a great start. I mean, heck, they beat number one Kansas. A week later, they lose to Princeton. Kind of a grinder win last night. I mean, it's a really big game for both teams. What are the guys saying about the challenges this Sun Devil team present?
Yeah, Arizona State almost had their own version of Oregon and UCLA because they were big on Oregon State, and then Beavers came back and made things interesting. And Arizona State is kind of an interesting squad. You know, they're going to be very up and down because they rely so heavily on their shooting. And the biggest thing, though, that jumped out to me looking at the numbers today is they have a positive rebounding margin of nearly 8, and they get about 42, 43 rebounds per game. And their biggest regular player is 6'8". They just don't have a lot of size. And you don't look at them, a program that last year's slogan was guard university, guard you. You just don't look at them and go, wow, that's a great rebounding team. But that's how they're winning, is they're getting up a lot of shots, and they're getting a lot of opportunities for shots because they're such a great rebounding team. And I think the biggest key for Oregon is going to be if the Ducks guards can match that intensity on the boards. The Ducks are going to have to do well on the glass. You know, Coach says this all the time. If you can't rebound the ball, you're just not going to win. And I think this is a prime example, particularly for Oregon's guards. You have to rebound well against an Arizona State team that is a very good rebounding team, despite the fact that they don't have a lot of size. They hit the glass hard. And for Bobby Hurley, that's been their big focus, is get as many shots as you can. And the way to do that is get a lot of rebounds.
Yeah, I heard you and Coach talking about that, and he has the tendency to draw that straight line from rebounding edge to the victory column. But, folks, he is Joey Mack. He'll be on the call again tomorrow night on the Oregon IMG Sports Network, 6 o'clock pregame, 6:30 tip-off. You can follow along with what he's up to on Twitter, at Joey McMurray. Joey, I know I got a hold of you today. I appreciate you finding some time for us. Have a great broadcast tomorrow, my friend, and travel safe back to Eugene.
Anytime, Steve. Anytime I can join you, happy to do it. Have fun back there in Eugene, and thanks for the time. I always appreciate it.
All right. Have a good one, Joey.